Computer. All right. Hello, everyone. My name's Karen. I'm a compulsive overeater. I currently live in New Orleans, Louisiana. Thank you so much to Robin, who asked me to share my experience, strength, and hope tonight. I'm going to start my timer. Excellent. I have a before and after picture, which I will explain for the recording. I'm maintaining a 65-pound weight loss. This picture is me in 1996 at my highest weight. And on the right is about the weight that I am today. I am so grateful to OA for that. I've been maintaining that 65-pound weight loss for about 18 years now. And my current abstinence is, 10 years. So those are my little statistics that always people are interested in. So, but that's not what I'm really interested in telling you about. I'm interested in telling you about the fact that I am a compulsive overeater and I've found a way to be free of that. It's just amazing to me that that is true in my life. I came into Overeaters Anonymous when I was in college, actually, which was quite a few years ago. And I learned at my very first meeting that there was an illness called compulsive eating, and it wasn't a matter of willpower. And this was a huge relief to me. I did not know that before coming into my first OA meeting. I thought my problem was that I just was weak-willed. And I had used willpower to solve a lot of my other problems, but it didn't help when it came to food. I would wake up in the morning with an absolute want and really want to eat sensibly that day. And I would have a sensible breakfast. And then for whatever reason, the food would be so exciting to me that there were many days that I did not make it to lunch. Without going off my diet, I called at the time. And I could not understand that. And I really wanted to figure it out. Why is it that I can have willpower in other areas of my life, but not when it came to food? And I really wanted to figure that out. Because I thought that self-knowledge would fix the problem, right? Self-knowledge fixed my other problems. So at that very first meeting, I learned that this is not a matter of willpower. There just happen to be certain people in the world, and we may have a couple on this Zoom call tonight, who willpower does not work when it comes to food. And I lost a bunch of guilt that night, right? If we're talking about weight loss, I lost some guilt pounds that night. Okay, this isn't a matter of willpower. Wow, that was a huge revelation for me. And then I learned, maybe not at that first night, but soon on, that it was a higher power that could restore us to sanity. And I needed some sanity when it came to food. I really did, because my way wasn't working. So I had to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, step three. And I did that. Well, I have to tell you this story about honesty. I was at a meeting earlier today, and it was on some of the principles, and one of them was rigorous honesty. And I was having trouble saying that my life was unmanageable. And I had this wonderful sponsor, and he would read from me from the big book. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. This demands rigorous honesty. Karen, are you powerless over food and your life is unmanageable? And I would say, no. And he'd say, okay. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And I don't know how many times this went along, but you got to be rigorously honest, Karen. He would read that part. And he said, so are you powerless over food and is your life unmanageable? And so finally, after a couple of times, I said, yes, it is fine. Are you happy? And that's how I kind of took step one at first. I didn't want to admit that my life was unmanageable. I had been trying to manage the food, which I just told you about, but I also was trying to manage everything else. And I was a senior in college. It was October, and I was failing two classes. So it was pretty obvious to people around me that my life was unmanageable, but I did not want to admit it. And I ended up taking two incompletes and taking a semester off from college because my life was so unmanageable. But I could not admit that my life was unmanageable. That was not how I was brought up. I was brought up, you pull yourself up by the bootstraps. And if you don't have bootstraps, you make your own bootstraps and then pull yourself up by the bootstraps that you made. You do not ask for help. Okay. And here I was coming to Overeaters Anonymous, getting a sponsor, admitting that I was powerless over food and that my life had become unmanageable. This was, you know, what I needed. Ego reduction is what I needed. And listening to other people's shares and seeing that this program works, and just being brought to my attention that my way wasn't working was just huge for me. So I got on a food plan fairly quickly, and there was one free food that I could have in between meals. And I was on my way alone in my car to an Overeaters Anonymous meeting, and I was eating this free food, and I didn't want to eat any more of it. So I threw it into the back of the car. Okay. And I'm driving down the road, still powerless over food. And all of a sudden, I decided, well, maybe I'll have a little bit more of this free food. So as I'm driving, I'm reaching back in the car and trying to reach what I had just thrown back there. Okay. I have a lot of different stories about step one, but this is the one that I decided to tell tonight of. I was putting my life and other people on the highway. Did I mention it was a highway? At risk by because I wanted this free food. I was on my way to an OA meeting. So this was part of my step one. You know, when I wanted the food, I would go to any lengths. This made perfect sense to me at the time. So I had to take step three, like I'm mentioning. That my turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood God. And so since I had dropped out of college, let's see, what do we call it? I called it something better than that. Taking some time off, I believe, right? Because again, trying to save a little face here, but basically, between you and me, you know, I just didn't know what to do. So my life was unmanageable. So I had some time to do my fourth step, and that was a huge gift to me. And my first fourth step was a lot about blaming my parents for all of my problems. And I would write my fourth step and get upset because I would get angry at my parents. You know, I'd sit down, time to do some four-step work, sit down, start writing, and I'd get all angry. And so then I didn't want to do my fourth step because I didn't want to feel bad and get angry and all this. So I had to do some of this prayer thing to figure out how to get through that. And one of the ways, I don't know if this was right or wrong, but it helped me get through that first four step, was kind of write it like at arm's distance length. I'm mad, I'm angry at my mother because she tried to control my food. And it was an emotional arm's length also, right? It's like, well, I know that I'm upset about her for this, but I don't want to feel the feelings. And I don't know if anyone is struggling with any kind of writing that they need to do in OA right now, but it was important for me to keep moving and keep doing that. So I did my first fifth step with this nice man who kept reading the big book to me. And there were some things on there that I didn't want to tell anyone. And I actually had told some people some of my secrets. I'm only a senior in college, right? There wasn't tons on there, but in my mind, there was. And I had told maybe a little bit of my secrets to one person, but never the same person at the same time. Like that was a very, I felt so vulnerable, right? This person's gonna know everything about me. And I had written a lot of resentments and fears, and I did a sex inventory. But then there was this idea of, is everything on that paper that I want to be on that paper that I need to share? And there wasn't. There was another part of my fourth step that I needed to share. And that was that I hated myself so much that I was having personal hygiene problems. So that all had to go on there. And that was the main thing that he needed to go on there. So we got together for this fifth step, and we actually did it in a basement office. And I read my fifth step to this person, and then I got to the personal hygiene problem, and my body language was, I do not want feedback on this part, right? So I would write it like this. And then I have had the same toothbrush for years because I never use it anyway, you know, that kind of thing. And but I made it through. And we came up out of that basement office, and I swear to you guys that the sun was brighter and the leaves on the trees looked better. Something had changed. To take that risk to share with someone. The sponsor said at the end, he goes, great, when are you calling me tomorrow? And that was such a beautiful thing for him to say. It's like, oh, he still wants to be my sponsor. He's not running and screaming. You know, I mean, it's funny, but it's not, you know. I was just a 22-year-old kid, and I really thought that he would make some excuse and not want me to call him the next day. I'm running out of time, but one of the things on there was an ex-boyfriend, and I was, you know, looking at my amends, and wouldn't you know, out of the blue, hadn't talked to him in 5 years, he called and wanted to get together. And that was one of my really important amends to make. When I first read the 12 steps, and I read that amends thing, I thought, oh, good, someone's gonna make me get in touch with this boyfriend and make amends, because I had some guilt there too. So then the more guilt was lifted when I made those amends to him. And they were, anyway, it was an okay amends thing. I think, gee, my time might be up. But, and so now I get to live in steps 10, 11, and 12. And isn't that beautiful? And I get to keep sharing with perfect strangers weird things about myself. That keeps me sane and happy today, and easy to stay on a food plan. Easy to, there's no more chatter in my brain about what I'm going to eat. And that is a miracle. There's those 9-step promises in the big book, but there's also those 10-step problems. I've been placed in a zone of neutrality, safe and protected. So my time is up. So I'm going to stop the recording. I remember. I'm so happy about that. So let me do that and I'll be right back.